Beloved congregation, some of the happier occasions we have opportunity to go to are weddings. And often the invitations go out months in advance and plans are made, many plans, and the day arrives and decision time is, are we going? Are we able to go? Are we able to join the family and the couple being married at this happy occasion? There comes a point of action being required. The build-up, the preparations, the time have passed. It is the time to get into the car and travel to the church, to the wedding, and celebrate the marriage. But sometimes it's hard to come to decisions. Maybe it's a particularly busy time in your life. Maybe you have other things going on. Maybe you don't know the couple that well and you're not sure if you should go or not. But we have to respond. We have to come to a point of action. And this is what Christ in this parable is communicating with regard to the wedding of the certain king, king's son. He prepares a marriage and provides all what is needed, all that is needed for the wedding. And he sends out invitations. That's what is meant when them that were bidden, them who were invited, are notified that the wedding has come. And that they must come to the wedding. And yet, when it comes time for action, the external call had sounded. We see a unwillingness to attend. And this is a warning, not just to the original Jewish audience whom Christ would have been addressing, knowing well that in just a few chapters, their rejection of him as the son of the king would be sealed through their crucifying him on the tree of the cross. We have no interest and we hate the son of the king and we will not participate in this marriage. What a warning. But also what a warning to us who have the information about the wedding so deeply rooted in our minds and in our beings, who hear the gospel declaration week by week. Perhaps we are so familiar that it breeds contempt and we don't act upon it. We don't come to the wedding. Oh, beloved congregation, this evening, I pray that the external call would sound clearly among us. Come to the wedding. Why should you come? Because you're invited. You're called to come. But you say, how do I come? Come as you are, pleading the merits of the great king and his son. So our theme this afternoon or this evening is the word of a king. Come to the marriage. Remember, this is the word of a king with divine authority telling us what is necessary for us. We have 3 points: the appeal, the earnestness, and the purging. So the kingdom of heaven, this is a parable teaching about the work of God in his kingdom, calling people to himself by furnishing a marriage for his son. He sets before a people all the best things that could be enjoyed. This would be a very joyous occasion, an occasion for those with the finest tastes. What a opportunity. And we would think, certainly everyone would love to welcome in this marriage of the king's son to his bride. How foolish would it be for anybody to reject? This is from the great king himself. Yet we see the human heart. We see unwillingness, a lack of care and commitment. But the king makes the appeal. And this appeal is not a suggestion. This appeal is a declaration of what he delights in, what would please him. And we read that he sends forth his servants to call them who were invited to the wedding. Call them now. Let them know that the wedding is ready to begin. And they would not come. And then he sends out other servants, more than the first. He doesn't lose heart. He doesn't say, okay, I'll just send out one or two more just to cover my bases and then see how they... No, his resolve to have a people gathered into this marriage celebration is even increased. Tell them which are bidden. He gives words to his servants. This is the script. This is what you are to communicate clearly to the people that are invited. Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed. I have the finest meats. I have the finest delicacies. All things are ready. So this wedding celebration would set forth all the great provisions of this wonderful king for his son. Everything to be desired would be included there. Everything that would be good and healthy. And to think of the abundance of joy, the merry hearts in the presence of the king seeing his son and his son's bride. This would be a place where you would think people would want to be. Think of other places in this world. Loneliness. Other places in this world, brokenness. Things falling apart. Other places in this world, sickness and weeping. Other places in this world, unfaithfulness. But not this wedding marriage, not this marriage celebration. Here there would be covenant commitment. Here there would be enjoyment. Here there would be togetherness. But this appeal, this outward call, results in none who were invited coming. And we say, why? Why does such an event get such a poor response? Even such a hostile response? Well, perhaps there was just some indifference. That people were preoccupied. People were out of touch with the greatness of their king. People viewed their king, viewed the king perhaps with malice or with bad motivations. They would not come. Or perhaps there were others who had other competing loves. Yeah, the king, he could do some things. He could offer protection. He could provide good economics. But there's also the farm. There's also the business. There's also the merchandise. There's the things pertaining to this world that need to be tended to. And there was a mixed affection. Yeah, some love for the king for what he gave. But when he demands something of me, when he keeps me from enjoying the things that I want to enjoy, well then, I'll pass. Perhaps there's also in those who receive this external call a downright hatred for the king, thinking that the king only reserves these things for his son and for these special times, and maybe there's resentment. What about for me? Why does he lavish all this upon his son and put all the spotlight and focus upon his son? What about me? I've labored. I've done my hardest for this king, and I hate this king. If only he would share some of the enjoyments and allow me to be in the spotlight too. All these wrong responses. Maybe it was at a bad time. Didn't quite fit in with the schedule. After all, business could have been busy. After all, the merchandise was selling hot. All of this, all of these responses show a disregard for and contempt of the king and his son. The king had appealed. The king had made known his abundance. The king had issued the command, come unto the marriage. This is what is best for you. This is what is required of you. And these treated it with contempt. Even to the point of a remaining group of people taking the king's servants and treating them very meanly and killing them. Yes, Christ has in view what he knew the Jews would do, what the Jews had done, and what they would do even to himself. But he really here exposes the human heart, our hearts by nature, that we don't know what is good. We don't care to do what God requires of us and to enjoy what God has provided for us. Is that what you know of yourself? That with the greatest appeal, with all the best things set before us in the gospel, our human natural response is not to come, not to respond, to prefer everything else instead of it. How does that show in your life? How do you wrestle against indifference? How are you troubled by deep-seated resentment against God's dealings with you? How are you, as it were, shaking your fist and refusing God's call? Come to the marriage. But secondly, we have the earnestness. None of these responses are unknown to the king. When the king heard, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. None of these responses are acceptable, are passed over. Oh, they've made a bad decision. They are responses unto their death, for their judgment. But wonder of wonders, that the king doesn't give up. He doesn't say, I've sent forth multiple groups of servants to make known this marriage and to encourage people to come to it. They have rejected it. They've resisted it. Looks like it's just going to be a family affair, a small gathering. No, we see the heart of the king to draw in others for this marriage. He earnestly insists that the marriage be full, that the wedding be well attended. And you will see that the cause of an empty wedding celebration is not the king or not the marriage. It's the character of the people. The people who were bidden were not worthy, we read at the end of verse 8. The wedding is ready. Everything is set and everything is more than sufficient. But the people who were invited were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. There we have the earnestness of the king to call whomsoever. Perhaps it's something you wrestle with. How can you come? Is it presumption? What's your right to act upon the gospel? And this is something where many people get tangled up and lack clarity. What is our authority to come to the marriage? And here we have it. The authority is that the king has called us to it. It's nothing in ourselves. It's nothing in our positions and our wealth and anything of our doing. It's not the depth of our convictions or the wonderful lastingness of our experiences. We come because we are called to come. Bid them, as many as you shall find, without requirements, without necessary hoops that they need to jump through or hurdles they need to get over, as many. There's a promiscuous call. It goes forth far and near. Come to the marriage. There is enough abundance provided by the king for whomever responds to enjoy. And so those servants went out And you could imagine, would they be uncertain? Doubtful? Would they be maybe muted? Look at these people who we are declaring this wedding to. That, would the king want them? The servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. What was their concern? Faithfulness to the king. And that many people would be there to enjoy the marriage. They weren't concerned with the idiosyncrasies and the various deformities, perhaps, and the various difficulties that they could imagine would be presented by this type of people going to the wedding. They weren't called to weed out the good ones and the bad ones, but they were called to call to whomever, come to the wedding. The free offer of the gospel, the outward call, rings forth. Wherever, in the congregation, in the preaching on streets, in the declaration to people around lunchroom tables or in malls or stores, there's an earnestness. Oh, come to the wedding. Come to the marriage. How can we have this earnestness? How can this bubble up from within? Well, the first thing I think is that we see it flowing from the heart of the king. This comes from the king. He doesn't let rejection stop him. No, it makes him, as it were, all the more insistent. This place, this wedding, this marriage will be filled. Oh, that we wouldn't let rejection, that we wouldn't let hostility discourage us. It's hard. It's hard to have it dismissed. But think about the Lord. Think about the well-being of never-dying souls. Be moved with earnestness as you think that God came to seek and to save such as were lost through His Son. And He didn't leave a people to perish, but that He went to find whomever, and call them to the marriage. So we can have this earnest care as the heart of the king guides us and fills our hearts with a passion and a purpose to reach people who need this marriage. But then a second thing about this earnestness is we don't have to do all the figuring out. Notice how simple the instructions, as many as ye shall find. We don't need to find those that are particularly suited, that have a particular education or promise or a particular look or a speech. We can disperse the seed and call forth and entrust the results to the sovereign God who directs every seed, where it will land, and how much fruit it will bear. Often we think if we don't have the exact words, if we don't have the exact length of time for an interaction, what good is it? What good could it do? We want to micromanage all the different parts to ensure as good of a response as possible. It's our responsibility to make it known. As many as ye shall find, call to the marriage. God will do the wonderful drawing internal work. by his Spirit and by his word. Then the last thing is we have to trust the Lord. He will furnish his wedding, the wedding of his son, with guests. Often we think that this will be a small gathering, just a few. Seems like everybody else is on the broad way that leads to destruction. And yes, sadly, that's the way it appears. But we work in faith, knowing that all whom God has chosen will come to him. There will not be one left whom God has given to his son. Then we would be earnest in seeking that the marriage be attended. This brings us then to the question, how earnest are you for your own soul, for your own being at the marriage? You hear the outward call Sunday after Sunday. The time of action comes. The time of commitment is required of you. But you say, how do I know if the inward call has attended the outward call? How do I know when the Spirit is really, really bringing this to my heart? Well, the way we are to know this is by if it draws us to Christ. Everything that brings us to Christ is of the Spirit. When we are kept away because perhaps of indifference or because of thinking about what other people say, the fault is not in the external call. The fault is in our hearts and the sin that still enslaves us. This then is the earnestness. The marriage will be furnished with guests. And this brings us to our third point, the purging. The wedding was furnished with guests. There was a sea of people that this king could enjoy at this occasion with the marriage of his son. And he overlooks the people who were drawn in wherever they were from. And he sees a beautiful consistency that it's not their deformity, not their good or their bad or their anything about them. He sees the garment of his provision. What a beautiful sight that would have been, that not just in the enjoyment of the son and his bride, but in the people so included in this event. And yet he saw one man which had not a wedding garment. Somehow he came in on his own terms. Somehow he evaded or he neglected the garment that would have been given to him. And the king has a word for this man too. How, friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? Friend. Oh, there's a close proximity. So near, and yet so far. In with the multitude, and yet not belonging. Not being clothed with what is acceptable to the king. What is acceptable to the king? Well, what is acceptable to the king is what he has given. And that is his son's righteousness. To cover all deformities. And to make a people presentable to himself. There's a purging This man without the wedding garment was speechless. He had nothing he could say. He knew better. He could look around him and see better. And yet he stayed there without it. And the king speaks to the servants who were called to bring in as many as they should find and to bid to the wedding, bind this one hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But you say, here's a question. How do I know if not only if I've come, but if I have this garment on? Is this meant to take away assurance at those who are drawn in? Well, it is meant to make us seriously consider, what is our hope for acceptance before God? If it's anything of our own doing, we'll be cast away. But if it's what He has done, what He has provided, the robe of righteousness that Christ has secured, if that is draped over us, covering us, as we heard this morning, many of us, He cannot not accept us. He must, because it is what He has provided. Even in the outward professing church, how important it is to seriously consider where the righteousness of Christ, what is the righteousness of Christ? How is the righteousness of Christ covering me? And then there is the truth that concludes the parable, for many are called, but few are chosen. Many were those invited early on. Many had the invites, the declaration, the appeal. Yet the blessed chosen ones were those who came. Those who, in the moment of decision, acted in line with the king's will. Oh, blessed are those who are attending the marriage. Yes, even this afternoon, even tonight, the call comes, come to the marriage. Amen. Let's